You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamaria, good morning, Kohana Ross, Toko Ingoa, and welcome to this week's bits. This week, we looked into a community garden that is facing an uncertain future. We also looked into backlash Labour Party MP Tamati Kofi received for using too much te reo on TV. And Alan Blackman from Dear Science spoke about how Tuis fight other males who have better songs than them. First up, 95BFM's India visited Sanctuary Gardens, Mahi Whenua, a community garden and food forest that faces an uncertain future as Unitech, the owners of the land, look to create a new housing development.
I visited the gardens during a family fun day event they ran earlier this month, where dozens of people took tours of the gardens and children made crafts and flower arrangements. One of the guides was Trevor Crosby, a volunteer who has spent an increasing amount of time at the gardens since retiring from his career as an entomologist. When I arrived, he was helping kids build boats out of gathered materials and was happy to show me around. As we walked, he pointed out the native and exotic species that thrive there, as well as the new kumara garden they've made using Māori methods. He says the situation is not unique, as there's pressure on all of Auckland's community gardens as the need for housing increases. While he understands the need for development, he says he couldn't stand by and do nothing once he found out the gardens were under threat. Trevor says the volunteers are currently in a conversation about the garden's future with the Wairaka Land Company, a subsidiary of Unitech who are looking after the development.
They tell us that no decisions have been made. All of this is uncertain, but what they've expressed is this one big block of land for by itself is more valuable as one block than having the sanctuary Mahi Whenua splitting it up.
Trevor says he was fascinated to discover that the garden has developed its own unique ecosystem, which is very different than what would happen in nature.
The lushness comes from the quality of the soil here. It has been said this is some of the best soil in this spot there is in Auckland. This is why it actually was chosen by Māori as one of the areas for growing.
As we walk around the garden, Trevor points out dozens of unique species all in a small area, including a feijoa tree planted to mark the launch of organic farming in New Zealand, and a kowhai from Stevens Island in the Cook Strait, which flowers for 4 to 5 months of the year and attracts a lot of tui.
Just for show how special the place is, the fig tree, that is a Bodhi tree. That's for Buddhists. This is grown from the source, from the seed source under which Buddha met his enlightenment in India. These were brought back some seed to the Mount Albert Research Centre, and there's various trees growing. This is one of them. Even the plants that we don't want grow particularly fast. Most people call them weeds.
But right. What do you call them?
Well, unwanted plants. For a site like this, what can we do? And basically we're looking at how can we best mix up, fit these demands, different demands, the high demands for housing against future needs, for future enjoyment, for future areas. What sort of area do you want to leave behind? And basically, I felt that we had to check it out and try to do our best for this area. Because if we didn't do it, who would? And going through, and in the future, if someone came to ask me, what do you do about it? And just say, I did nothing. I feel that's not the way to go. And what this is, this is a group which is passionate about the space going through this. We were not being so well together doing things like today, this family fun day. It wasn't an active group. There's few community gardens will be able to pull people in like this for the part. You see all the flowers here for a lot of the things. They are from vegetables and many of them have gone to seed. We're quite happy with that because not only is it a different sort of landscape look, but they often provide food for the small parasitoids and other small insects which are vital for natural biological control.
Trevor says not many people throughout Auckland know about the garden, but it is valued by the students and volunteers who do use it.
The landscape design people here, and quite a number of they come here to look at the trees and the area, ideas. This one thing for landscape design. To me, I call this whole area is a hidden biodiversity jewel for Auckland, because most people don't know about it. Yeah, and we get all these different trees that have grown from almost nothing 20 years ago, and it would seem to be a pity to just take it all out and then say start again somewhere else.
New Labour Party MP Tamati Coffey has received some backlash this week for using too much te reo on TV. The comments basically said that he should be proud of his heritage, but too much te reo could get boring and he should be careful that the public don't get turned off him. Larry Parr, chief executive of Te Manga Pahu, a Māori broadcasting funding agency, responded by saying, "You will always have some people that criticise the use of te reo, but the idea is to get more and more people on board with it." Lillian Hanley spoke with Larry Parr.
So why is it necessary to ensure support for Māori language on TV?
So there are a range of pou for language revitalisation. And, you know, there's acquisition, there's use, there's corpus, which is about, you know, expanding the vocabulary and making sure that the phrases and words are available. There's critical awareness, which is quite important for people to understand how fragile the language is and what needs to be done to get it out of that fragile state, and this status of the language. And what we do is we're focusing largely on the status of the language, which is about normalising te reo for the whole nation. So people get used to the notion of hearing the te reo and they accept it. It's also about making it, you know, cool to kōrero. There was a campaign that MyFM ran a few years ago. It's cool to kōrero. The impact that broadcasting has is mostly on societal attitudes. And, you know, obviously, you know that we operate the Zepa model, which is moving people along a continuum. So if at the left end of the continuum you have those people who would like to see Māori done away with, not taught in any way, and just let's forget about it. And down at the other end of the continuum you have fluent speakers who are actively speaking te reo Māori and using it. And then the rest of the population actually sits somewhere along that continuum. Some are towards the right and some are towards the left. But the bulk of our population sits somewhere in the middle. And that is that they are mildly interested but not necessarily active in learning, using the te reo Māori. And our objective is to try and move everybody, wherever they are on that continuum, just steadily move them all to the right.
Tamati Coffey received some backlash after speaking te reo on a TV show, saying that he would lose popularity if he continued to do this. What was your response to those comments?
Well, my response to those comments are that because of the makeup of our society, we're always going to get people, we have people that are at the left end of that continuum, and those are the people that make those sorts of comments. Interestingly enough, the evidence is to the contrary, because that particular program is getting more and more popular every week. So there are more people who are supportive of, I would say, the use of te reo Māori in programming like that than turning off because of it.
How do the rest of us working in, well, those of us working in majority Pākehā language broadcasting, how do we work towards shifting their attitude?
So have you seen the sort of things that Jack Tame is doing on Breakfast?
Aye.
Yeah. So, you know, it would be great if every mainstream broadcaster or distributor of content was actually moving along that along those lines, so that, you know, all of the time you can notice if you watch consistently, or even if you watch and then you dip back into breakfast, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, there's a new phrase that they're pulling out. So obviously, we need to have bastions of the reo, so that's 100% reo, because we need to provide opportunities for people to exclude other languages from their living rooms if they want. But then we also need to be working with, you know, the bulk of the population and getting them used to and accepting that the reo has an important place in our society.
And finally, AUT's Alan Blackman spoke on Dear Science about how TUIs get feisty when males have better songs than them and actually end up getting into fights.
So this is research done out of Massey University. And so as you say, TUIs sing wonderfully. Anybody who's got any sort of trees in the backyard and stuff and hears the TUI in the morning, they're fantastic. They apparently can do at least 56 separate syllables, apparently.
Syllables?
Syllables, sort of different noises, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good at mimicking as well. So they do sort of cell phones and car alarms and things, apparently, which I didn't know.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, yep. So they're also very good mimics. But apparently, according to this latest research out of Massey, the story is that if you are a TUI and you're the best singer on the block, then you are going to arouse the wrath of your male neighbours, seemingly, because you're a threat to them, and they're scared that you're going to get the girl, as it were. So the
because I know from experience, TUIs can be dicks. Not all of them are. I'm not judging TUIs by any means, but I've seen them attack sparrows and all sorts of.
No, well, this is them going for other TUIs. So it's the males, of course. It's always the males. Yep. And so this was just published in the IBIS International Journal of Avian Science this month. And so basically the findings are that the males who sing the best appear to arouse aggressive behaviour in other males. And the way that they did this was to take recordings of TUIs and TUIs singing very, very complex songs and very, very simple songs, okay? And so the theory was that the TUIs who sing the more complex songs, the females are going to go for them because being able to sing a complex song is a sign of health.
Yeah. And
they went up to Te Whanganui, where actually I went camping over Labour weekend, so it's very nice up there.
See any TUIs?
Lots, yes, yeah, lots. Oh, baby poo kickers, my goodness, they are just the cutest thing. My goodness.
Let's not even get started.
No, we won't. Anyway, so they basically set up some speakers and stuff up in the Te Whanganui up there, lots of TUIs around, and they would play these recordings of complex songs and simple songs, and within the sort of the region of a particular male TUI. And what they found was that when they played the complex songs, the male TUIs would actually come up and sort of get very, very close to the speakers and start acting very aggressively towards them and start warbling themselves and trying to sort of outsing these things. So they'd come up to around about 30 centimetres away from the speakers, whereas the average distance when they were playing the less complex song, the simple songs, that was about 6 metres or so. So they really really didn't give a toss with the simple songs.
So they'd check it out, but they wouldn't really care.
Yeah, so they didn't sort of see it as a threat, presumably. But when they hear this complex song, they think, uh-oh, you know, this guy's out on the block. He's gonna get my girl. I better do something about it. And so they start behaving all aggressively. So
that's so interesting. Because I'm from Wellington. I lived quite near the Karori Wildlife Sanctuary.
Yeah.
And my mum would go mad because there was these crazy TUIs that would love our pahutukau tree, and they'd just, you know, blitz out their song. Sometimes it'd be crazy. It'd just be screeching and just all the, you know. Maybe just the louder and screechier it is, the more females you attract.
Yeah, kind of like karaoke, really, sort of TUI karaoke. You know, whoever's the best singer, you know, at the end of the night, so to speak.
That was this week's Bits. To listen
listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BeeCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/BeeCasts.